The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our author event series, recorded live at the Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, the Central Library Expansion Project, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org.
Now, I would like to introduce you to our host for tonight, the legendary Philadelphia theater diva, Mady DiStefano.
Hello, hello, hello. How is everybody? We don't have to keep it clean because this is a non-drinking establishment, do we? How many children that can't hear curse words are here in the audience today? Okay. Do you guys, muffineers? Huh? So maybe the storytellers have to go like this when they're about to say something really offensive. So I'm just going to keep my hands up here the whole time, okay? But maybe just one, because I have to read from this. All right, so all the storytellers tonight are the winners from Chicago, Best Of, and the winners from Philadelphia, so that should be pretty exciting. They ought to be pretty good storytellers. We're going to pit them against each other. So I need to select, oh, we do this in a minute, the volunteer judges, we select in a minute. After I read all this stuff? Okay. I need to read all this stuff, and then we're going to select some judges. If you're not selected as a judge, use your score sheet we gave you so that you can keep track of your favorites for two reasons, so that we can pick an audience favorite. I know Vicky just said some of this, but it's really important that you do this because it's fun. And we might pick a winner to see Found magazine founder Davy Rothbart and his singing brother at the Arts Bank on May 5th. Okay. Now, you ready? Ready to pick the judges? That's next on my sheet. This is very exciting. Okay, you guys ready? These are very important people coming up here. Estelle Bronstein, come on up and get your equipment. You're going to get a scoreboard and a handy marker. You can't just wave from afar, can you? She can, apparently. Look at him run. Okay, number two. Carol McCullough. Did I pronounce it right, the last name? You should be a doctor with this handwriting. Write me a script or two. I can tell you what for afterwards. Is that you? Carol? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Carol.
Okay. This is going to be last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, Liz Scheme? Yay! She's very happy about it. There she is. Yay, ladies and gentlemen, Liz. So let's give a hand to all three of our judges right now because they're going to have a lot of pressure on them. They're all sitting in the back, which is good, because it'll make our storytellers send the stories out to everyone that has come here. And look how many people there are. That's fantastic. Okay, so there are rules. Now that we have judges, we have to deal with our rules here. Stories can be no longer than 5 minutes. All stories must be true. You cannot read or, what does it say, use notes. And they have to relate to the theme of this evening, which is mortified, which is why I wore this dress. Because every time my daughter sees me in it, she's mortified. Which is not different than most of the clothes I wear. You know, do anyone remember your mama wears combat boots as a cut down? Anyone? Yeah? Yeah, I'm that mama. Okay, so each judge and audience member, which means everyone in this room, is going to give the storytellers two scores, one for the content of their story and one for the presentation of their story. And there are a couple of things that you have to keep an eye out for because you need to reduce points if they go for the no-nos. Each score is on a 10-point scale. 10 is the highest. Okay, if the story doesn't relate to the theme of the night, which is mortified, you have to take a point off their content, and if they go over time limit, you take a point off of their presentation. So, speaking of time, we have two indicators here for you. The first indicator is at 4 minutes, you're going to hear this. And that means, rut-row, you have a minute, you better wrap it up. And if you hear this, It means there's a rattlesnake behind you and you better jump. No, that means you've reached 5 minutes, so you better zip it up in the next sentence or you're going to have a point taken off. Okay, so shall we start? Is that what happens next? So how do we go first? I think Chicago, because they're guests. Yeah, one of these buckets is Philadelphia, and one of these buckets is Chicago, so we're going to alternate, but we'll see who goes first. I think we should go with Chicago first, because they are our guests here in Philadelphia, and it is indeed the city of brotherly love. All right, please welcome to the stage storytelling expert, Enid. It even tells me how to phonetically say it here. Please welcome Enid.
You're going to tell me when? Thank you. So you tell me when I just start. Okay, well, hi. My name is Enid. I was born and raised in Mexico City, you can tell. I just moved to Chicago recently. It's something that we do in my family. We just leave the born town and just run as far as we can. And I'll start with my grandpa, because he used to live in a very nice little town in Mexico. And all people do in this town is harvesting. Harvesting pumpkins, harvesting corn, whatever. So they always carry their tool from harvest and their hip. And it's like we call machete. It's a long, long knife kind of curvy. I think you guys call it machete or something. So, like, it's a normal afternoon. My grandpa is drinking with the boys, having beers. And then this guy is like, hey, Leo, you know what's up? He's like, what? And he's like, it's like, haven't you heard what this guy is telling about your wife? It's like, no, what is he doing? Oh, that he's fucking her, that she has such a nice pussy, blah, 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 that she does like this and like this. And he's like, what? And he grabs the beer and throws it and runs to the house. It's like, you bitch, you are cheating on me. And my grandma is like, what? What? And then, boom, he slaps her. And he's like, no, I ain't doing anything. And then, my grandma just goes under the table. He's like, no, I don't do anything. And my grandpa just grabs the table and throws it in the air. And, after little bit of roughing with my grandma, he gets convinced that she's not lying. And they kind of make up, and they start kissing, there's a reconciliation. And they start, about to fuck when they're like, no, wait! That motherfucker! And then grabs the machete and runs to the street. And then he sees this guy. Okay, he found him. And it's this. Okay. And it's like a big, narrow street. And they look at each other in the eye. And he gets really close. And guess what happened? They start having a machete fight. And it's like an action movie, right? And I'm like, boom, boom, boom. And then, boom. My grandpa gets injured in the shoulder. It's like, oh, he gets really, really angry. And he grabs the machete and boom! Yep, the other, chop the head off of the other guy. He feels very mortified. So he has to leave the city. And that's why I grew up in Mexico City. And that's all.
Wow. Judges, you better tally that up. Now, every story has to be true, so I guess it's up to the judges. And, I thought Chicago didn't stand a chance because I'm like, Philly, we're tough. We're tough here. But, when they cheat and they bring people in from Mexico City, we don't stand a chance. I don't know if that's fair. Someone told me today, I was asking about Chicago, and they said it's a city of broad-shouldered people. Is that true? Did they say that? Big-shouldered. I thought it was broad-shouldered. And I was going to say, well, Philly is the city of Broad Street. And South Philly Broads. That's as far as I got with that joke. Okay, how are the judges doing on your scores? And they do one for each, right? Content and presentation? Okay, Liz, how you doing? Hello? You have a question, go ahead. One through 10 for each, not one through five for each, right? One through 10 for each. Do you need another second? Are you ready?
Two separate scores,
yeah. I understand. You don't just give us the combined number. You give us the individual numbers. Okay. Is that a five and a five? Okay, five and a five from Liz. All right. So they put them both on the board, yeah? Okay, Carol. Where's Carol? Oh, I thought everybody was in the back. Look, you're right there. So. Right. Right. Total of 20 possible. So 1 through 10 for content is a 7. And 1 through 10 for presentation is a 9. Woo! All right, Estelle. Estelle, darling, where are you? You're over there. Content is a 7 and presentation is an 8. She's a presenter, that girl. All right, next up, from the hometown Phillies, who we got here? Let's give it up for some Philly love. Rob, did I pronounce that right?
I can do it myself. Thank you, thank you. I do appreciate the help, though. Yeah. We're very self-sufficient. Got to tighten it. So when I was in high school, I spent half the day at my regular high school. I'm just going to pick this up because this is weird. And the other half of the day I spent at this place called the Mathematics and Science Center. And they called this place the Nerd Farm, and rightfully so. And so and when I was 16, I thought that I knew everything, but I didn't know shit, especially when it came to girls. And you know how you think when you're a teenager that you really, really like someone and you haven't even met them. You haven't even talked to them. There was this girl, let's call her Jess. She sat across the room from me in my English class, and I just had the biggest crush on her. I hadn't actually talked to her, but I knew that I liked her. So I had to figure out a way to get her attention, to make her like me, and to impress her. And so I decided, well, I don't want to risk anything, so I'm certainly not going to go talk to her. No, no, no. I'm definitely not going to call her on the phone. No, no. She could reject me outright. That would not be good. I have to find some like passive way to express my feelings to her in such a manner that I don't actually have to be present when those feelings are expressed. And so back at the Nerd Farm, meanwhile, I had this friend named Mike. And Mike always had a girlfriend, and so I thought that he would be a great person to ask advice from. And, well, I tell him how much I really like this girl. I neglect to mention to him that I've never actually spoken to her, that we've never actually hung out, that we don't have any mutual friends, none of that. So he just assumes that, like, we have some level of familiarity. And I tell him, you know, because of course I've stalked her in the yearbook and I see that her birthday's coming up. I mentioned to Mike that it's her birthday, and he says, oh, you should write her a birthday card. And I say, that's a great idea. I can just put it in the mail, and like that way I don't have to be there when she reads it. And so I say, what should I put on this birthday card? And he says, well, I can help you out with that. I can give you a few points for things that you can put on the birthday card. And he writes these things down for me, and they look awesome. And I run to the drugstore, and I spend like 30 minutes going through all the cards, you know, all the birthday cards, because I can't get the ones that are like obviously romantic, because that would be too obvious. But you can't get the ones that are like, you know, obviously we're just friends, or it's a little too neutral. You know, it has to be subtle, because I was a real subtle guy at the time, you know. And so I write this birthday card. I transcribe, you know, some of Mike's ideas. And this is, it went something like this. It was, Jess, happy birthday. 16 is a pretty awesome age. You can drive to school now. freedom. So, anyway, I just hope that you have a really great birthday, and I just wanted to let you know that I think that you are a really cool chick, and I really hope that, I get a chance to get to know you a little bit better. I hope that, maybe one day soon we'll get a chance to do just that. I see candles. I see mood lighting. I hear Miles Davis playing softly in the background. We share a laugh, a smile, a devious look. And whatever happens after that, happens. I can't wait. And I hope you feel the same way too. I'll see you in school. Rob. So I don't see her in school for the next couple of days, but then late one night at my house, the phone rings, and my mom picks it up, and it's for me, and she calls me to the phone, and she says, it's a girl. And as you can imagine, that was kind of a rare occurrence when I was 16. And I pick it up. Hey, is this Rob? Yeah, who is this? This is Jess. And I'm like, oh my God, she's actually called me. I don't want to go out with you, okay? Let's just be friends. And I was like, okay. And she said, okay, bye. And hung up. And that was it. So, as you can imagine, I was mortified. But, you know, Jess, if you're out there, sorry about that. You know, I meant well. So I didn't know any better. And I hope that... You get some mileage out of telling the story about the really creepy birthday card you got from the weird guy in your English class.
Give them a present. It's a prize, actually, for their story. So let me go back to I need. I'm going to present I need with some dress-up shoes.
From Philadelphia. Okay, and Rob.
Oh, Rob. Maybe I'll use the mic. Well, I see you have a wedding band on, but I just wanted to say, you know, better luck next time. Here's a 2-pack dream catcher. All right. Judges, how's it going? Do you need more time? Liz first. Liz. All right, we got a 8 for content and a 7 for presentation. All right. Estelle? Are you Carol? That's Carol. Who did you want next?
Why don't we go with Estelle?
We'll go with Estelle. We got an 8 and an 8. 8 for content, 8 for presentation. Carol. 8 for content, 10 for presentation. All right, we're moving right along. Go Philly. I shouldn't say that, right? Well, I just directed a play that takes place in Chicago, so, you know. Chicago love, right? All right, from Chicago. The mic is off. The mic is low, but it's on. Nicolette. Let us know if you can't hear. Okay, if you can't hear back there, let us know.
Let's go a little lower.
Nicolette.
All right, so my cousin and I were raised completely differently, but we're like sisters. And she likes to say that family means ride or die, which means that I end up keeping a lot of her secrets. Like when she was a prostitute, I kept that secret for her. And I also moonlighted as her pimp, but that's another story. So 2 years ago, she had a boyfriend move in, and 10 members of my family live in this 2-bedroom apartment. And so I was kind of like, okay, you know, you're a big girl, do what you want. And then because I keep her secrets, I find out that this guy just escaped from Cook County Prison. And so he's an escaped felon, and I'm like, oh, all right. But family means ride or die, so I keep her secret for a while. And then I find out that the cops took him and her 8-year-old son into the principal's office because he was using the 8-year-old son to get numbers from 12-year-old girls. And I was mortified. And I became concerned about my cousin's other child, a 4-year-old girl. And so I decided I had to do something. So I called the cops. Actually, I called twice because the first time they didn't do anything. Chicago's finest. So the second time, 12 of them showed up at this apartment where 10 members of my family live. And I didn't know that this was what was going to happen. So London, this name's guy was London Weekly, like a newspaper. I shit you not. And he sees them coming up the stairs, so he just books it. And so the cops are all over the apartment looking for him. And they look in the bathroom, even though my cousin says, no, my 4-year-old daughter's in there taking a shit. And lo and behold, they open the door, and she's like, hey, I'm in here. And they close the door. But London was in there, too. London was hiding in the linen closet. And Jasmine knew it. And so he heard the door open, and he jumped out the window, busted straight through the plate glass. And my cousin thought that the person who narked on him was Jasmine's father. So she called some friends of hers, and they beat him so bad he got metal plates in his face and spent quite a while in the intensive care unit. And I was thinking, this is a very not good ride or die situation. Do I tell her it was me? I mean, that should have been my punishment, not this innocent person. And eventually I did tell her, because I think when you keep people's secrets, you should also be able to be honest with them about your own secrets. And eventually she said, you know what, that's fine. It'll just be another secret we keep. Thank you.
Wow. Do we give extra points for bravery? Jeez Louise. I don't know how tall the next person's going to be, but if I'm going to talk, it's got to be up here. We should do that. I'll just put it at a height, and then we'll have them all come see. The magic wand. Oh, would that you could change all of that, but you cannot. Here you go. All right, Lady Liz, how you doing? 6 for content, 9 for presentation. It's that bravery point I was talking about, I think. And Estelle? 6 and 7. 6 for content, 7 for presentation. And Miss Carol? 9 for content, 9 for presentation. Good job. I just remembered a Chicago anecdote. My sister used to be a travel agent in South Carolina, and she had someone request tickets for Chicago. I couldn't believe it, but that was a true story. She was mortified. All right, from Philly, yes? Philadelphia, Angel. Come on up.
I think we're okay. Is that good? Okay, so one of the jobs that I had when I first moved back to Philadelphia was at an amazing restaurant called the White Dog Cafe. And about a year into my service there, I had a table of 4 men from Italy that were sitting in our back dining room in a beautiful candlelit room. And they didn't speak English very well, but they did manage to ask me what it was on the menu that I liked to eat most. And I had a whole spiel for this because I was asked that several times a night, as you can imagine. And I did have a favorite on the menu. It was the duck steaks. And I had a whole way of describing it. You know, boneless, skinless breasts of duck with a sun-dried cherry glaze and a rice pilaf on the side. And I went through this whole spiel. And then I looked at them and I smiled because usually people say, that sounds delicious. I'll take it. But instead, the 4 of them sat there looking at me stunned. Just jaws dropped. Like they couldn't believe that I was offering them duck steaks. And I said, what is it? They said, you eat duck? I said, yeah, you know, it's not that common, but it's kind of, you know, we eat it here. Yeah, it's something unusual on the menu. They said, we can't believe that you eat duck. And I said, well, yeah, we do. And I'm starting to fumble a little bit because it was such an unusual reaction to duck steaks. So I went sort of further into my spiel because I didn't know what else to say. I said, yeah, well, you can have them to order. The chef prepares them anywhere from rare to well done. He suggests medium rare. So they're still stunned. And I said, where are you guys from? You're from Italy? They said, yeah. And I said, what part? They said, southern Italy. And I said, you don't have duck in southern Italy? And the one guy said, yeah, but we keep them as pets. We don't eat duck. And I said, really? You don't eat duck in Italy? I'm sure that there's Italian dishes with duck. And so by now, the fourth guy is like, you know, maybe, I guess he figures he'll just try it. And I said, all right, well, he said, I'll take the duck steaks. I said, well, how would you like it done? He said, as the chef suggests, I'll do what you do with the white dog, and I'll have the duck as you know, have it prepared. The other three looked at him stunned. They could not believe that he went ahead and ordered the duck. And I said, again, listen, guys, I'm really surprised that you don't have duck in Italy. They said, duck, you know, it's a pet, you know, woof, woof, duck. You know, we have it as a pet, woof, woof. And I said, woof, woof. I said, not woof, woof, quack, 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 quack. I was quiet dining room, candles, and I'm flapping my arms and quacking like a duck. And I'm saying, and now I'm horrified by the idea that they thought I was serving or trying to sell them dog steaks, boneless, skinless, breasts of dog with a sun-dried cherry glaze. And so I'm dancing around, I'm flapping my arms, I'm saying quack, quack. They're going quack, 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 not ruff, ruff. I said, yes, quack, quack, not ruff, ruff. And we're sort of relieved, thinking, wow, you know, I'm not going to serve you dog at the White Dog Cafe. So we're sort of taking a breath. But at the end, we all, myself and the three other men, sort of turned to the fourth man who actually ordered what he thought were dog steaks. Done medium rare. Thank you.
Good one. Wow. That's a pretty good one. No one wants breasts of dog. Right? Reminds me of a Phyllis Diller joke. You know, someone's playing with her boobs. Someone's playing with her boobs and she's like, honey, you can play with the knobs all you want, but the picture's not going to change. Okay. So we have for you a chew toy. Nice job with the selection there. Okay, Liz, are you ready? Content 8, presentation 9. And Miss Estelle, 8 and 9. Content 8, presentation 9. And Miss Carol, a 10 and a 10. Miss Carol likes duck steak. This is a little low, I think. Let me ask you a question. Is the mic low or is it just fine? Fantastic. Okay. So coming up next from Chicago. Rah. Sam. Bring it on, Sam.
All right. That'll work. Hello, Philadelphia. Hello, Philadelphia. Yeah! All right. When I was 13, there was this kid, Ned, and I wanted to see him no longer exist. I didn't want to kill him, per se. I just wanted to see him dead. The reason for this, well, let's go back. Nintendo was an 8-bit system. Tetris was crack cocaine, and my brother's friend Justin was the wizard. He He had cerebral palsy, and his hands were very, very clawed. And he would set the controller on the ground and beat the living shit out of it. Kids, and keep them up. Would beat the shit out of me. I was a level 12, he was like 60, and I'm watching him, and the shape would appear and drop where it was supposed to go, like instant, and I had no idea what was going on. Now, what did I say that first kid's name was? Because it's an alias. Ned? It rhymes. And if he ever sees this, yeah. I hated him because my mother was friends with his mother, and she would invite this kid over all the time, and we had nothing in common. I wanted to shoot hoops. He didn't. He wanted to discuss pound puppies or some other sort of assorted stuffed animal. He also had, I think, Cabbage Patch Kids. I'm not sure, right? It's neither here nor there. The thing is, we were sitting at dinner one night, and Justin was over, and Ted's across the table. My parents aren't paying attention, and he's going, making fun of Justin. And I'm getting a little pissed, but I'm restraining myself for now. Dinner ends. Time passes. My old man has a drafting board that I have set up on the table specifically to draw pictures to ignore Ned. And I'm drawing. And he's trying to get under my skin. He can do this. He's very good at this. He just knows how to say things that piss me off. And the first one is like, I don't even know why you're not paying attention to me. I'm like, well, because you suck, but I'm not going to say anything. I just ignored him. I went back down, and I'm drawing a giant robot on graph paper. And he walks around the table and he's looking at it. He's like, you're not a very good artist. And I'm like, okay. But the other detail about this story is that it was the 80s, and the 80s weren't too good for a lot of people. And the old man got laid off. And he's like, oh, I heard your dad got laid off. He's a bum. The next thing I know, you know how they say you go red, you see red? Every blood vessel blew. And the next thing I knew, he was on the ground, and I had him by the flesh of his throat, and I was pounding it fucking repeatedly against the fucking ground, and I had no idea. I couldn't stop. And the next thing I knew, I was in my bed. I don't know how it happened. The old man must have grabbed my shirt, pulled me away from him. I still had skin under my fingernails. And I sat in bed, and I couldn't stop. But I wouldn't have stopped anyway, like if no one had stopped me. I would have killed him. And I don't know, I think about that pretty much every day. So that's what I got.
I'm trying to be witty. I'm trying to find a way to relate it here. It's a halo because you're such an angel. You didn't kill him. I don't know. It's a fly swatter next time someone's pesky to you. I don't know. Thank you very much. I'm going to turn this around because the stick has to be on that side. All my years of rock and roll have taught me something. Oh, and there's this. Wait, I used to be able to... Notice I didn't do it with the mic because for sure it would have broken and I would have dropped it. Okay, so Liz, how we doing? I can't... See, Liz. Okay, there we go. 7 and 7. This is a non-drinking establishment, Liz. Okay, Estelle. 7 and 9. 7 for content, 9 for presentation. 7 and 8. 7 for content, 8 for presentation. Thank you, Carol. All right, next up, from Philly, am I right? I can't remember two things. All right, please bring up Ryan.
I went to high school not far from here at a little place called St. Joseph's Preparatory School for Boys. No prep guys in the... Wow. Anyway, so as you might guess, it's an all-male Catholic high school run by kindly priests. And so you might think, like, oh man, it's a bummer, like you went to an all guys high school when you're like, you know, your sexual prime or whatever, but you know, it'd be nice to have social skills, but you know, it's great to, it was just great to be there. You know, you're just hanging out with all the fellas and we're just like, you know, shooting shit. And you just, you know, like, I know every dead baby joke there is, you know, like, we used to dress like slobs, you know, like farting, burping, like, this is great, you know, just spitting everywhere, like, woo, you know, we're having a great time. Like, this is what high school should be about, or, yeah, social skills. So, the thing is, though, is that, like, you're in this, you know, when I wasn't really ready to be in this environment of being, like, so vulgar and everything, because I was raised by two very, you know, like, I have a very strong female mother and a strong female sister, and my dad was very wise in teaching me how not to offend them. And so I had a lot of various things, you know, sort of built in, you know, sort of parameters to be like, don't say this, don't say this, don't say this, and you'll be fine. So, you know, a lot of that had to, I guess, be sort of unlearned. You know, I could free myself from that in this environment. So, you know, it's in the beginning of my freshman year, I'm making friends. And I guess at around this time, Japanimation, I think the kids call it anime now, was sort of becoming a big thing. I don't know if you've ever, like, seen this, but the I guess the two big things, at least for this story, is that, like, one is, like, all of the women are drawn so that it would be physically impossible for them to exist unless it's, like, zero gravity. Like, I don't know. It's, like, I don't know what's going on there. But, you know, I'm a freshman in high school. I'm like, and then, but the other big thing is that, you know, they're drawn with very big eyes, whereas, like, the eyes take up, like, half of the face. So, you know, I'm with the boys, and we're talking about this, and we're riffing, and I'm really hit my stride. I'm, like, going, I'm, like, getting, you know, I'm only having all these jokes, and so I finally come up with this line where I'm, like, and I saw this one, and, like, her eyes were as big as her boobs. And so everyone, and I was, like, ah. Like, this reaction was kind of tepid, and I was, like, I was, like, no, like, I need to step it up. Like, I'm here at this high school, all for guys, you know, I can start, you know, let's really get in there. Let's really, you know, work it. So, like, I was, like, standing, so the way it was is, like, here was the entrance to the school, and then there was, like, a wall, and here are all my friends. So I was against the wall, and I said that, and then I was, like, I'm really going to sell this one. So I, you know, turn, you know, and I'm, like, and her eyes were as big as her tits. And it's, like, this, only worse. And, like, immediately, you know, I turn around, priest. You know, so you got priest right there, and it's, like, and he's, like, well, that's nice. And to be fair, he heard that way out of context, you know. He's probably thinking I'm being just very misogynistic about some girl, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, that's not fair to me, you know. So anyway, you know, caught in the sights of this priest, just said, eyes are as big as her tits. And so I did the only sensible thing to do. I ran away. So, you know, freshman year goes by, you know, I didn't have any classes with her, you know, I didn't see him or anything. So, like, it's like sophomore year's rolling around, I'm talking with everybody about who's back, who's left, you know, I'm kind of worried if I maybe end up in his class, and he's like, you know, it's over for you, buddy. So, you know, I find out he got transferred, or he, you know, voluntarily transferred or whatever to Illinois, and I'm like, sweet, you know, one less thing to worry about, you know, I got puberty to worry about, that's, you know. So anyway, you know, a couple months go by, and my mom's like, oh, your grandmother in Illinois ran into a priest that said he used to go to the prep. And I was like, she's like, oh, did you know? And I was like, I think I ran into him once. And she's like, oh, yeah, he said he didn't know you. And I was like, whew, you know, Christ averted, you know, family embarrassment, you know. Well, that is until now. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Cheered him on. There you go.
Rah, rah for Ryan. I noticed we have a lovely woman here doing sign language for us. What's your name?
Doreen.
Hi, Doreen. Let's welcome Doreen. I've always wanted to see certain things signed. Shit. Fuck. Pussy. Fuck me now! Woo! I get my rocks off. Okay, Liz, how we doing? We got a seven. Is that a? I can't see the top one. 7 and a 9. Okay, Estelle. A 5 and 5. Hey, we drew their names out of a bucket, okay? All right. And Kale, a 7 and a 6. All righty. Rolling right along. Chicago up next. May. Max? May. Max! Is this a literacy day? Because I'm not doing so good.
Do you want to wear it?
You want to wear it? Yeah, no. Do you want me to stand next to you and hold it?
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. If you want to be a ring girl, that's hot.
You want me to take my dress off? Because I'm going to before the day's over.
That would be awesome.
All right. You know, for me, the most mortifying thing ever is probably just trying to conduct myself like a normal, handsome, fully grown 24-year-old man when my mom won't let go of the apron strings. I have a question for you. Does your mom send you text messages? Because my mom does. All the time. Now that I live in the Windy City and she's still stuck in Washington, D.C., it's one of her favorite things to do. She doesn't know much about new technology, and she can't even really use her email, so learning to text has become a major new development in her life. Sometimes I'll be waiting for the bus on the way to work, and the word mom flashes in bold across the screen of my cell phone. Chicago is now number one murder capital. Stay away from dark alleys, unlit areas, etc. Now, I'd hate to call my mother a nag, so I guess I'll just say that she's always had a very active role in my life. You wouldn't expect that, with the tattoo sleeve and everything? Anyway, when I was a kid, she used to leave me notes all the time, really long notes, and they usually read something like this. Kids, I am out walking the dogs this morning with Barbara. Please help yourself to granola and yogurt. Do not eat any Lucky Charms. They're bad for you. I've hidden the box. Also, please do not watch television. If I come home and find you watching TV, there will be no Nickelodeon tonight. Love, Mom. What can I say? I love my mom. Anyway, sometimes I think my mom sends me these notes basically as another way. She sends me these text messages basically as another way to leave me lots of notes. And she does this because it helps her feel closer to me when I'm far away. For example, I'll never forget the message she left me when I was visiting New Orleans over spring break. Have a good time. Stay away from the crime, the message began. This one was an instant classic because it started in rhyming verse. New Orleans is a beautiful place, but it's also very dangerous. Stay away from strange people on the street. Don't drink too much. Use good judgment. And don't do anything ill. I think what my mom was trying to say was don't do anything illegal or maybe ill-advised. But like most inexperienced texters, she wrote too much and got cut off mid-sentence. As for the trip itself, I can't promise I didn't do anything ill whatsoever, but it was nice to know she was thinking of me. On other days when my mom's not trying to monitor my behavior, she'll play anchorwoman and share a news story with me. Take this message I received recently, for example. Don't eat peanut butter products like cookies and crackers, Mom warns. These products contain salmonella bacteria poisoning. People very sick and death. jar of pea butter is okay. Okay, jar of pea butter. So, you know, in truth, there's really no information I can't get from my mom. Even during the presidential election, she got me the coverage I needed faster than NBC was able to. It was 9 p.m. on the Magnificent Mile, and I was two steps away from the store where I work when I received the following message. "He is president," she proclaimed with two exclamation points. "It is wonderful. They are right when they say that Martin Luther King's dream has come true." Now, you know, initially my response was, "Damn it, Mom, you know, you spoiled my surprise." All of my anticipated election night suspense had just fallen flat. But then, as I boarded the bus, I thought of her whooping and dancing around our living room. She was probably twirling around with our two little dogs while, you know, trying to type into the little keypads on her phone at the very same time. And, you know, thinking of that, I just knew I needed to be with her, and a text message wasn't going to cut it. So I walked to the back of the bus, took a seat, and gave my mom a call. Thanks.
Yay for moms. That was very funny. My mom couldn't text message if you paid her. She can't email either. She writes very funny notes. So I just told her that my daughter was complaining she needed more new clothes because she won't wear thrift store clothes. I don't know why she's rebelling. But so my mom, who used to shop at Bloomingdale's, is now like, "We're in a recession. I'm going to buy everything at this great Goodwill shop." So she sends my daughter $100 and she says, "You can get 10 whole outfits." And it was this Easter card. Anyway, it ended with hop, hop to the Goodwill shop. So that's what we've been saying around my house all week. All right. So let's hop, hop to scores, Liz. 9-8. 9 for content, 8 for presentation. 8 and 10. From Estelle and Carol. Do you have a question? Do they have to deduct a point when the shaker goes off, or does that mean wrap it up or you get a point deducted?
Technically, you should deduct a point for going off.
Okay. But she didn't, because it says 10 presentations. So, no. What? He wrapped it up? You know what? Let's read it. This is really, it's like a national election going on up here. Oh, speaking of which, see my Obama watch? Yeah, ask me what time it is. Time for a change! Woo! That's right. That's what the man says. Mm-hmm. 4-minute warning when you hear the first bell. You have 1 minute to wrap up. Second time you hear the bell, that's 5 minutes. Quickly wrap up your story. Remember, if you don't, a point will be deducted. He quickly wrapped up his story. Yes. Just to double check, in all fairness, we don't want any hanging chads here. Did you deduct for the bell? You did. So your presentation point should go up 1 point? Look at me for checking, huh? And Estelle? You did not. Okay, so we're all square. All right. Did you get your prize? Did we give you a prize? No, we didn't give you a prize. What is your prize? Oh, it came right off the thing. Grow capsules, soft expanding foam. I don't know. You better check with your mother and make sure this is safe. It looks kind of scary. I should have checked with the mother before throwing it across the room, but I did not. Okay, without further ado, Philly, Catania.
I can't do it all by myself. Can somebody help me with the mic stand? Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Okay, so law school tried to kill me. And I say that because I keep having to pee here, and it's re-traumatizing me and giving me flashbacks because I used to wet myself all the time when I was in law school. And I didn't know if the bricklayer was bruising my innards or, oh, babies and mamas. I love the babies. Don't I look like I love babies? I love the babies, but I'm not going to be able to control it for you, okay? Like, I'm just going to flow, baby, so don't be like me, at least not when your parents are around, okay? Okay, little ones? Okay. So I, you know, I want to get all the below the belt stuff out of the way to give you some bang for your buck. The show is free. So I used to wet myself all the time while I was there, but I was also smoking, so I couldn't smell myself, see? So that's why I'm kind of at a distinct disadvantage today, because I'm a little bit of a masochist. I'm a Pisces. So, like, I go through awful shit to see if I can get over it, like drinking the blood of my own ego, drinking, like, doing that Conan thing. So, like, one day I actually did. I wet myself. I was finally on time. I had trouble being on time for my family law clinical. And then there was this one day when I was actually on time, and I had on these fly, like, cream-colored pants. And I was sitting on the train, and I was almost there, and I couldn't handle it. Like, and the puddle, like, it just, the wet mark started happening. And I'm so grateful that the people in North Philly eat so many hydrogenated fats, because there was a plus-size store right near Temple Law School, so I could go and pick up some pants and then get back to school. So loads of things have happened down there. Let me tell you, I can't hate on autoerotica. My mama has walked in on me on the phone with a phone lover. You know what I'm saying? Babies don't be like me. And also, it wasn't all that long ago when I actually, you know, pooed myself on my way to therapy. And I don't miss my therapy appointment. So those of you who are concerned about me, I am getting help, okay? But I couldn't make it because I had hit the Crown Fried Chicken the night before, and then, like, my crown-blown colon showed up in my jeans that morning. So I think, like, the toughest thing for me about this topic, what I'd like to do is ask myself, can I still love myself if this happens, right? Can I still love myself if I do this? Can I still love myself if I do that? One of the tough things for me was being in my family where the women were so male identified and where it's so hard to see my natural beauty for the women in my family. So when you hear the flutter in my voice, that's your cue to take a deep breath, okay? So, weird things have happened. I've been in the presence of people who love me. These are not evil people who will, like, forget that I look like this and start talking about how grossed out they are by fat people. Why do y'all do that? Y'all are weird to me, skinny people. But one of the more painful things was, like, I finally, after years of having a Jerry curl, I finally went and got my hair relaxed and, like, sat. And some of y'all don't know, I have love for the people who have never had a relaxer in your life. But it burns. It fucking hurts. And I would have fun, like, picking the scabs out of my scalp. And sometimes chewing them. And my aunt... my aunt Renee, I remember she was so excited, and she was there with my little cousin Nisha, and they were so excited that I finally had straight hair. I was finally done with the Jerry curl. They didn't have to put the plastic on the couches anymore. And my aunt, like, just slipped and said, "Tanya is finally one of the pretty girls. She's finally one of the pretty girls." And I've still kind of sat with that, you know? So I think some of the most humiliating experiences for me have been about trying so hard to look like something other than what I am. Can I just fucking be who I am? Can I love this?
For the pretty, pretty princess. It's like a little tiara and earring set. How appropriate. Okay, I think the judges are probably faster now. So let's see. Liz. 10-10. Eight, eight. Which one's for presentation? 9-9. Check it out. Okay, great. One thing can be said for sure. Your presentation and content are the same. They are equal to all judges. Okay, next from Chicago. Is this the last one from Chicago? Then you know who you are. Bill, bring it on up here.
How's it going, everybody? You know, I started the slam in Chicago, and, you know, we've been going for a little over a year, building it up. And I'm just so happy that First Person Arts could bring us out here and give us this opportunity. Let's get a big round of applause for First Person Arts! So people always wonder why me and my cousin Dylan are so close, even though we ain't blood. Well, when Dylan told me he was getting married last year, he said he wanted to do one more crazy thing, one more adventure. And he asked if he can come out to Pamplona, Spain with me and run with the bulls, something I've been doing for years, you know. I got a little rep out there. They call me Buffalo Bill because I run in cowboy boots. My buddies made me a shirt last year, Buffalo Bill the Berserker. So, you know, they say, you know, we're out there, you know. We're on Estafeta Street in the path that six fighting bulls are going to run down, these giant bulls. They're very dangerous. And I'm looking down the street, and it's a quarter mile straightaway. It's like a canyon. It's a balcony, six rises, six stories up on each side, real narrow street, and it's just a sea of red and white, you know, on the cobblestones. All these people just getting ready to run, and I start thinking back to all the things that my family's been saying, my dad and my uncle, and you know, his fiance, this tough little blonde from the Irish South Side of Chicago, you know, and I'm like, they're all like, don't get him hurt. I'm like, you know, that's cool, but the only thing is that in the run, there's no way to keep anybody safe, not even yourself. A rocket goes off, and the roar just spreads through the whole entire city. And then it starts to build again in the distance, you know, and it's building, it's coming our way. And people just start flying past. It's like, faces just flying fast as hell. We're like, oh, shit, we're getting stuck against the wall. You know, I'm like, fuck that, I fight my way out. You know, I fight my way out in the street, and I'm dipping and dodging. People are flying past me. I look at Dylan, I'm like, get out of here, man. And it's like, there's a rumble so loud he can't even hear me. And I'm like, all right, fuck it. I start running. So I'm running. And I'm looking back, and there's all these people. All of a sudden, there's this opening. And this mythic black beast just appears, and its hooves are just clapping on the stones, and it's the smell of it just like smacks me in the face. It's so strong and funky, and all of a sudden you know, and it's you know, it's bowling ball sized knots of muscle, sculpted muscle, you know, stretched tight over this black silky fur, and its horn is just right here, and it's just bobbing, and it's just rocking, and I'm running as fast as I can to keep up, you know, and all of a sudden it just throws its horn towards me, and I trip up and I fall on the ground. And I sit down, cover up, everything passes me. This guy comes up, boom, he picks me up, and I start running again. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I get to this big opening called Telefonica, and the light just pours down on you, and it's this wide open, and I look back, and there's another bull coming, and there's this little dude, he's running right on a horse, and the bull's head is as wide as this guy's shoulders, and its horns are just wrapping around him, like, just like that, and he's just running right there, and I'm like, man, that's where I want to be, you know? So I start slowing down, you know, And I start getting close, and the guy starts pushing me. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm like, elbowing him, trying to get position. And then he starts punching me in the back. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I trip, and I fall again. And I'm covered up. And all of a sudden, everything passed me. All of a sudden, this dude starts swearing at me, like, yelling at me in Spanish. And he's like, he's behind this barricade. It's a cop. And he's like, da, da, da. And I'm like, what, man? What? And I look back, and there's a bull, a stray bull, and it's just sitting there in the street. And it's scanning to get somebody, you know, to go on. And all these Spanish runners are going up to him with rolled up newspapers, like, Toro, Toro, trying to get the turn and run. And finally, I'm like, fuck, you know what I'm going to do? I got this great idea. I'm going to go to the tunnel, which is the most dangerous place to run, where most of the people have died in the run. And I go and I wait for him there. So I'm waiting for him. And it's like this concrete cave, and I'm waiting. And finally he turns and he comes. And I start running. And I'm running, and like the noise is all trapped in this tunnel. It's like, doo, 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 doo. And everybody's like, ooh. And we just get to the opening, and boom, like just this light hits us in this arena that's just full of people standing on their feet, just cheering. And just this roar just hits us. And the bull's like right behind me, and the bull's like, boo, like lets out this bellow. And I'm like, fuck, and I jump the wall, and I get out, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, what about Dylan? I'm like, fuck, you know? Oh, shit, that was the craziest run of my life. And I'm looking around, so I get this slap on my back, and I turn and I see him, and his green eyes are just glowing, you know, and he's all right, and he's got this crazy look, a look you don't get from running with the bulls, you know, and I'm so happy he's safe, you know, sure, we ain't blood, you know, But what's that shit matter to brothers? Thank you.
Thank you, Buffalo Bill. That's pretty brave. I don't do. What do we have here for you? We have a champion horse. This, I think, is safe. Safe to ride, safe to wrap around. All right, scores. I don't need a mic. Oh, now, come on. Let's be nice to the judges. They're working for free. And what do we have here? 8 and 10. See, everybody's different. If Chicago loses, I'll take my dress off. You know, I'm an exhibitionist. That's why I'm up here. Okay, Amy. All right, Amy from Philly, bringing it home. Does everyone have a reserved sign on their seat?
No, I'm not in my
office. She's reserved. She's Edwards, apparently. No.
Reserved Edwards. Okay. Is that a good height for you? Want to follow
it? I like it. It's good. Hello, everyone. I really wanted to go after the story about the mother because, well, you'll find out in a second. So I had a hard time coming up with a story for the theme of mortification. And I was starting trying to ponder why, and there's also not a lot of wiggle room in the interpretation of the word mortification, unless you wanted to tell a story about mortification of the flesh, which is always a crowd pleaser. You know, it's pretty straightforward. You're going to tell a story about being embarrassed, and that's not easy, despite all of us being here. The other reason why I was having a hard time is because I feel like I don't get embarrassed. I'm up here. I'm the first person at karaoke to sing. Anyone will tell you, I just really don't get embarrassed. And I was trying to figure out why. And I kind of summed it up to four words. Life with my father. My father is an extraordinary person, extraordinary. And he has always told me that in my life. Don't be average. Be extraordinary. The problem is his definition of extraordinary sometimes might, to other people, be inappropriate, to put it politely. And so I have this whole lifetime of stories. I wanted to share some of them with you. Some of them were smaller, not so big, for instance, and they were routine moments throughout my life. Whenever we would get on an elevator, when the door would open and someone would walk in, he would say, "Hello, I'm the Admiral." And then, like, we would go to the next floor, so now there's three of us in the elevator, and someone new walks in, and again, "Hello, I'm the Admiral." And, you know, that's something that he still does. And it never gets old. There's another story of when my boyfriend was meeting him for the first time. My boyfriend and I were inside of a bar, and he leans over to me. There's a window, and he looks at this person walking by, and he said, "Oh, my God, they're going to let this homeless man come into the bar." It was my father. Another time was parent-teacher conference, and I didn't remember this. It is true, but I didn't remember. My father reminded me. He had a pair of, like, dollar store buck teeth, disgusting buck teeth, and he'd slip them in and just flash them when the teacher was looking, made eye contact with him, just like... you know? Another instance, sort of back to the elementary school world again, was when you have homework that you have to take home and make sure your parents sign it, that they saw that you did it, and you bring it back and show your teacher. I'd always get really weird looks from my teacher, and I didn't ever really know why until I was moving and I cleaned out a box and I saw all of these things that I had saved, and he signed every single one of them, Sphincter McGillicuddy. I mean, it's It's hilarious, right? Also embarrassing. And I would like all of you, while I'm telling these stories, picture your relationship with your father and how you would feel if these things happened to you repeatedly over your lifetime. My boyfriend is Australian, and so therefore he is a subject of the Queen. Australia is a member of the Commonwealth. And so the second time my father met him, we were having a pizza in Old City, and he said to my boyfriend, "So do you ever jerk off thinking about the Queen?" But this, you have to understand, I was completely unfazed. This is like normal. I mean, it is embarrassing because I feel like it should be embarrassing, but it's ultimately not really that embarrassing. And so I was just thinking, you know, how do I wrap up all these little vignettes? How do I take my episodic tale of mortification and wrap it up? And my father wasn't supposed to be here tonight. He was supposed to be somewhere else. And I'm thrilled that he is, because my ending of this story is the ultimate retribution for 31 years of putting up with this shit, earmuffs, is that he's in the audience, and I get to mortify him now. So he's right over there. Thank you. Date him, because it would mortify my daughter. It would be awesome. And how appropriate is this? Huh? Huh? She's going to show up everywhere you go with these crazy grills. The grills. All right. Wow. You said something about jerk off. What? Oh, man, I was like, is it or isn't it? I mean, I think in everyday speech it would just be that, right? I mean, J-E-R-K. Okay.
How are we doing? Oh, do you have enough to keep doing?
All right, we need to get our scores. Okay, Liz. I can't see that top number. I don't know why it's so hard to see you over there. Is that a 9? 9 for content. 9 for you, Dad, and 8 for presentation. 10 and 10. 9 and 8. All right. Now you have a lot of math to do, right? Yeah, you do have a little bit of math? Okay, I'm going to take my dress off. I don't think Chicago's going to lose. I just couldn't decide what to wear, and I don't know what's more embarrassing, putting the dress on or taking it off. You guys gonna give me applause?
This is to mortify you.
I was getting ready to ride my bike, and I was like, I need to put something on over this dress. And then I put that dress on, and then I was like, wow, it's really good in honor of spring. Okay, so I'm supposed to tell people things about upcoming things, Vicky, but I lost my script, or I left it somewhere. You know me, running around without it. So what do I have to do? Oh, it's under the dress. Of course. So, what else is going on here? I'm reminding you of upcoming events. Thursday, April 28th, Slam at L'Etage. L'Etage is above Beaumont over at 6th and Bainbridge. It's a crepe place. It's really awesome. So that is Tuesday, April 28th. The subject is Odd Jobs, and the host is Diana Martyr from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Awesome. Your second anniversary. Are you so old? I remember way back. Wow. And May 5th is Found Magazine's Davy and Peter Rothbart premiere their new book with us live on stage at the Arts Bank. Buy your tickets now. Where do they go to buy tickets? Is there a first person arts festival dot something? Is that what it is? Firstpersonarts.org. Well, this...
was such an awesome event. What a great way to hear five really great short stories told by... from Philadelphia, and five great stories told by some amazing performers from Chicago. That's what I was saying, grill girl. How you doing with that math? You ready? Okay. We're going to invite the teams up. So, what? Okay, so let's bring our teams up. Should we have Philly? Let's have Philly over here. And we'll have Chicago over here. Oh, I hate competitions. I think everybody's a winner. What? Okay. There's no other runner-ups. There's no anything else I need to say, right? I don't want to screw it up. Okay, so the winner, I think we might know who it is Max. Where are you? Where are you? Oh, there you are.
Very, very nice.
Awesome. So you get to compete at the Grand Slam in November? Does he get airfare? What? Can everybody put up a dollar? Come on, it's pretty cheap. There's like 200 people in here. Everyone, what? Anyone have Miles Davis to play for that 16-year-old date? Everyone put up a dollar. Come on, wouldn't that be awesome if they did? But, you know, there's always hope. It is time for a change and all. Okay, and the winning team is Philadelphia. Hometown love. Champion of the first person art Chicago versus Philadelphia Story Slam at the 2009 Free Library Festival. Thank you. Oh, is there audience? How do we do audience favorite? That will be announced online? Oh, cameras! Anyone, you have a camera. It's in my bag right down there. Excuse me, sir, in the red hat. Will you want to reach in there and grab a camera? It's right there under the bike helmet and various other tchotchka in my bag. Okay, so we're going to be collecting in this bucket all of the audience surveys, and we will add it up, and we will announce it online. There will be an announcement, and what do they win? I haven't said goodbye yet. You'd think it's the Walnut Street Theater and there's a rush for the parking lot. My God, those people are rude, right? The winner will receive a free memoir. Someone got my walnut joke. You know, when I played the lead there, I was like, oh, it was better to be in a small role because at least there were people out here when I came out for my bow. Thank you so much for coming to this awesome event. Thank you, First Person Arts. Farewell.
Thank you for listening to a podcast from the Free Library's Author Event Series. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information is available at freelibrary.org.